also an advantage of learning in the other room, hopefully we have to have star names with the Schlepfers. We'll see how that plays out as well. Okay, I think that it's likely that from the very first time that any of us ever learned anything about Hilchos Kashrus, about having a kosher home, about keeping kosher, most probably we learned that one of the fundamental features, one of the primary features of living a kosher lifestyle is avoiding the contact, avoiding foods that contain a mixture of bas v'chalav, of fleishigs, milchigs, of meat and dairy together. So we know we don't eat fleishigs and milchigs together. We don't have the same utensils, the same kalim, pots and pans and spoons and forks and so on. Aren't the same utensils for milchigs and fleishigs, and we have to wait for X amount of time after eating fleishigs, after eating meat, before eating dairy and so on. And that's the basis of bas v'chalav. But we're perhaps surprised when we begin to look into it a little bit to discover that, in fact, in the Torah, the makor, this iser, to eat bas v'chalav together, is very, very unclear. The Torah, in fact, never expressly states in the form of the law that you're not allowed to eat bas v'chalav. We don't find any such pasuk that says bosochal bas v'chalav or some such expression. There's no such pasuk in the Torah. What we do have, regarding bas v'chalav, as you know, is a pasuk or a phrase that actually is repeated in three different psukim of the Chumash, which says, "Lo sevashal gedi b'chalei bimo," which means you're not allowed to cook goat, a kid, in the milk of its mother. That's what you find. You can't cook the meat of a goat, of a kid, in its mother's milk. That we find is a issue of bishul, not allowed to cook. But other than that, the Torah never really gives us any express information, any direct information about the prohibition to consume bas v'chalav together, which is instructive. Now, the first time that that pasuk appears in Parshas Mishpatim, Shmos Perek Chof Gimel Pasuk Yud Tes, there the Torah says, "Reishis Bikuriyat Bas V'Tovi Beis Hashem Alkecha." The first half of the pasuk has to do with the mitzvah of Bas Bikurim, which is not our topic now. But the second part of the pasuk says, "Lo Sevashol Gedibah Chalei Bimah." So, if you saw the Targum Unklus on that pasuk translates "Lo Sev," notice what are the words Targum Unklus say on that phrase "Lo Sevashel"? Lo sechum, right? Well, it's instructive. Targum Unklus is generally a more literal translation. The Unklus, Targum Unklus translates lo sevashel as lo sechum. So he understands that what I said before is not really right. It's not true that the Torah doesn't say don't eat bas v'chalav. It does say it. Instead of it, lo sechum, it says lo sevashel. The Targum Unklus translates the word lo sevashel as lo sechum. How about eat bas v'chalav? That's important because there is an Aramaic expression. You have the shoresh, the Hebrew shoresh, beis, shin, lamed, which means cook. So there appears other places in the Chumash that root, not in connection with the Chalav. And the Targum Unklus there, there's a chair over here. Somebody. Yeah. Are you comfortable there? Okay, good. Yeah, so elsewhere in the Torah, the Targum Unklus translates the Aramaic word, also similar to the Hebrew, it's also a beis, shin, lamed word. But here he says, lo sechum. Rashi comments on that, at the end. The Rashi comments, like I said before, over Gimel Mekomis, there are three places in the Torah where we find this Isser of Lo Sevashel Gedib B'Chalei more repeated, and it's three times Echad, Isser Achila, Echad Isano, Echad Isser Bishul. Rashi says the fact that the Torah repeats the same phrase in three different psukim teaches us that there are three Isserim, there are three prohibitions presented with regards to Bas V'Chalav. One is an Isser to cook, to eat Bas V'Chalav, Isser Achila. One is an Isser Hanoi. Now, Hanoi means not to get benefit from it, even if I'm not going to eat it. I have Bas V'Chalav, not eating it, but I'm going to sell it to a guy. Or I'm going to feed it to my pet for something. That gives me the benefit from that. So that's called an Isser Hanoi. And there's also an Isser Bishul. I'm not allowed to create, I'm not allowed to cook, I'm not allowed to prepare Bas V'Chalav together. So actually, yeah, that's why I have the Pasuk three times, because there are three Isserim. The second time the pasuk appears in Parshas Kisisa, Shmos Perek Lamed Daled, pasuk Chof Vav. There, it's the exact same pasuk actually. Reishis Mikriyat Bas V'Chalav Beis Hashem Alkecha Lo Sevashel Gedib B'Chalei Bimah. The exact same pasuk mamish. Some of you may remember the end of Parshas Mishpatim and the end of Parshas Kisisa. There's a lot of parallels. Quite a number of mitzvahs that are repeated in the end of Parshas Kisisa. They're very similar, if not exactly the way they're presented in the end of Parshas Mishpatim. What she explained has to do with the fact that intervening, there was a Chet HaEgel. After the Chet HaEgel, so it was necessary for Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, to restate parts of the verse. Anyway, that's a different discussion. But anyway, you have the exact same pasuk, Reishis B'Kriyat Bas V'Chalav, Tovi Beis Hashem Alkecha Lo Sevashel Gedib B'Chalei Bimah. And there, again, Targum Opus, consistent, translates once again, Osev Asher, Osechum, not allowed to eat it. And there again, Rashi, Yolasa, Osev Asher, he says also the same thing, tells you again, that the prohibition, this phrase, Osev Asher, Vibachalva, appears three times, one to present the Nisra Achila, one to present the Nisra Ano, and one to present the Nisra Nishul. The third time that this Pasuk appears in the Chumash is in Parshas Re'eh, which happens to be this week's Sedra, so-called the Hanukkah Sedra, this week's Sedra is Parshas Re'eh. So in Parshas Re'eh, there we find the third presentation, but it's not the exact same Pasuk. There, in Dvarim Perek Yedalet, Pasuk Chafalos, so Perek Yedalet begins with a review, here in Parshas Re'eh, in our Sedra, begins with a review of some of the details concerning the different species, of which types of creatures are considered kosher, which are not considered kosher. The more detailed presentation is in Parshas Shmini. But here in Parshas Re'eh, there's a review of some of the dinim of what animals are kosher, and what fish are kosher, and what birds are kosher, and so on. So it's, again, a briefer that we find throughout the Chumash Devarim. Certain things are reviewed. So these dinim are reviewed in Parshas Re'eh. At the very end, there, the Pasuk says something different. It doesn't say anything about Avos Bikurim. And the Pasuk begins, says, Lo Sochel Kol Nevela, Inala Arid as Nevela. Nevela means an animal, a kosher animal. Animal's a kosher animal. But if the Nevela means that the animal died in a manner other than through a proper halachic shechita. We know that even though the Torah tells us certain animals are kosher, but you can't just eat the meat of the animal unless the animal is also shechted properly. So that's in the beginning of Yoredeya. One time, the shechita was part of the requirements to receive shechita from our yeshiva. Rabbanim had little slaughterhouses and so on. That's not the way common Rabbanim is today. So today, they don't study Hilchot Shechita here as part of the Smicha requirement, but at one time you did. So Hilchot Shechita tells you all the dinim of Shechita, and if an animal dies other than through a proper Shechita, the animal called an Avela. The animal dies of old age, or was shot by a hunter, or was run over by a bus, whatever happened, whatever killed the animal, I'm not allowed to eat the meat of that animal, even though it's 100% kosher animal, it could be a kosher animal, but I'm still not allowed to eat it, that's called an Avela. So it says, so called an Avela. What do you do? It says, Lagera Shebeshevet in Nenavah. You can give that to a goy. In that context, we'll define as a goy. The veil you're allowed to give to a goy. Just said before, the boss of the chalot is nisahanot. And the veil there is no nisahanot. Allowed to sell non-kosher meat to a goy. A different din, it will come to another time. You're not allowed to make that into your main parnasa. You're not allowed to do. But sometimes you have a slaughterhouse, a schlachthouse now, that makes they slaughter kosher animals. But sometimes you find a trefer. A trefer is different than a veil, even though in modern parlance, I guess in Yiddish we say treif to mean anything, any food that's treif, and in our culture we say treif. Yes, but look at what it means, treif means not kosher. That's really not correct. The real technical definition of the word treif means that it has some type of internal damage that will prevent it from living for a long time. It puncture your lung and so on. It's called a treif. In slang, it means treif means not kosher. If you talk about cheese being treif, or candies being treif, ice cream being treif, or something, it's not really a correct usage, but that's how we explain it. But anyway, so a trade is you're allowed to sell. Sometimes in the slaughterhouse, it's expensive. You have an animal, and it turns out that it was a trade. The kosher animal was slaughtered properly. But then they inspect, they find out the animal was sickly, it had damage to its lungs. There's a whole paragraph in the Sefer that describes, what different internal damage renders an animal trade for what doesn't. Sometimes an animal has a little sickness, doesn't make it non-kosher. Anyway, not for us right now either. Even before my time, before my time, you had to learn Hilchos Treifos also to get smicha from our yeshiva. Because again, it was a rabbi's job. A woman would come with a chicken. You know, the stories, I'm sure, the rabbi's sitting and a lady comes in with a chicken and wants to know, is this a kosher chicken? Like today, most rabbis, myself included, have never seen a chicken. Well, the kapparas to see chickens. But other than that, so usually sometimes they shut the chicken right there by kapparas. But other than that, I've never examined the inside of a chicken. No one ever qualified to do so. One time I had to know that. In any event, but that you're allowed to sell, that's what they do. They sell it to a goy, to the goyish meat packers, because they don't care how the animal died. And it's a good, perfectly good, from their point of view, it's a perfectly good cut of meat, so they'll buy it. So that's a pasuk here in Parshas Re'eh. It says, like, Gerash Medrach and Nelam HaHalal, Omo Chorsim Marachu, you can sell it, give it, whatever the Gemara says, maybe Sina Kulam Kulam describes the difference. Anyway, and then at the end of that pasuk, it says, Gel Osim Asher B'Dibach HaLegimo. That's different than the first two times, but the phrase is the same. Osim Asher B'Dibach HaLegimo, and again, Targum Opus, again, consistent all three places, says, Lo Seyon Mizar Ipas of Chalav Kenway, can't eat Gediba Chalavimo, can't eat the meat of the kid of his mother's milk. Good. Rashi the Attaka in our Sedra, does not say what he says in Mishpatim, because he says Rashi does not say And it says it three times, once for Nisar Achila, once for Nisar Anu, once for Nisar Bishul. I'm not sure why, maybe because well, they've gotten to the third point. When I was in Mishpatim, he's telling you, it says there are two more times. In Kisis, there's another time. In Me'ei, I'm actually assuming you remember what was earlier in the Chumash, so we got to the third time. You have to tell it says it three times. We know that already. Okay, anyway, Rashi says something else that we learned from the threefold repetition, which will come to another time. So Rashi doesn't. I just put on the page the Bala Turin, as we saw it, Bala Turin. The Bala Turin says, Bala Turin sometimes gives you gematrias. And he says, the gematria of Losim Asho Gedi, if you add it all up, adds up to Isser, or I would say also Achila, Achila Vehada, you have to put the verbs in Vehada of Bishul, and a couple of boys calculate it's off by one. Okay, Gematria is allowed to be off by one. There's something called, we've seen Imah Kolo. Have you seen that? Sometimes they'll call it Gematria, it adds up to Imah Kolo. Means the phrase itself counts as one digit. And that's how you get away with it. Sometimes if you have a Gematria, it doesn't exactly work, but it's one off by one. And I'll point that out a few times. Anyway, so the whole phrase counts as one. All right, and that works out. So, one way or the other, the phrase, Lo Subash Lo Gediba Chalevimo, teaches us according to Rashi says the Chumash coin to Balaturim Gematria teaches us what that the Yisra Achila, Yisra Bishul, and Yisra Hakol. But again, it is striking, and it ought to be borne in mind that the Torah still does not openly tell you the Yisra Achila to the point that if we take a look at the Gemara in Chulin, the Gemara in Chulin of Kuf Yud Dalet on the base raises the Kasha, yes, as a question. Min Amar of Ashi, Minayim the Boss of Acholov Shosav Achila. Right? I mean, that tells you right off there, we see that Gemara in the middle of the page, Kufi Adam Rabbeis Yechul, and the Gemara is asking, Gemara has to ask a kasha. The Gemara wouldn't have to ask, how do you know that it's also a few comments on Pesach? When you have a pasuk that says so, right? I mean, the Gemara is troubled that we don't have a beforeish pasuk that says it now that it is. So therefore, Amar of Ashi, Minayim the Boss of Acholov Shosav Achila. How do we know that the Boss of Acholov Shosav Achila? We only have a pasuk in the Chumash, the Targum Unkelus notwithstanding. This came later, the Targum Unkelus knew the conclusion. Targum Unkelus incorporates the Torah Shabbat Peh. But from the Torah Shabbat Sav, we don't have a Mefurish pasuk that says, Lo Sochu, Gedima Chalebo, or Bosu Chalos. So that's what the Gemara is. Amarashi, Minayim Lo Boschosh, also Mechila. So he comes up with the following answer, a different pasuk, also about the Marash Sedra, Barjus Rei. Very good. It's pasuk Gimel. There it says, "Shenemar lo sochal kol to'eva." The pasuk tells us you're not allowed to eat something which is labeled a to'eva. To'eva means something which is disgusting or abominable. Doesn't mean necessarily it's inherently that way. The Kadosh Baruch Hu has declared that this activity, or her to'eva food, that this food is a to'eva, which from which we darshan says the Gemara kol shati avti lecha harayu v'bal tocha. Anything which I, Kadosh Baruch Hu, have declared as a to'eva, you're not allowed to eat it, even may not specifically say you can't eat it. It's included on this limud of kol shati avti l'cha, ending which I have declared that is a to'eva. Rashi says kol shati avti l'cha, kol sh'asarti l'cha l'ta'avo l'sracheit mimeno. Anything which I've told you keep away from means you're not allowed to eat it. So, once a chala, the Torah does say to keep away from it. It's sacrificial, not allowed to cook it. So therefore, Rav Ashi here is saying that itself, the Torah, by telling us not to cook, Basar Chalav is telling that this is something that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to remove ourselves from. That's called the Toiva. And we have a cloud, after the Gemara says, your kol shati avdi l'cha, anything which I have to put inside, harei v'al tocha, you're not going to eat it. And Rashi says, again, this is chul kufi yadal v'beis, Rashi says, harei v'al tocha o amis, b'chol en yonin shu, no matter what. In other words, not just if it came about through Yisr Bishul. Let's say a goy cook. A goy's allowed to cook. I'm going to make a cheeseburger. Okay? So Rashi says, Bein she bo bavera, bein she lo bo bavera, ki gom ha'ide kotno, ha'ide ol kuchovim. Right? If there's a cheeseburger, so I might have thought, well, okay, if the Jew violates, if somebody violates the Yisr of Lo Sebastian, of cooking, so then I understand I can't eat it. That's okay? Now I cook it, so I can't, no one can eat it. But let's say no Yisr was involved in this at all. A guy cooked it. A cotton cooked it. So, nevertheless, that's the din of kol shati avdi l'cha. Anything which I, as Rambam said, keep away from, right? It's considered abominable, considered disgusting, by me, by halacha. So then you can't eat no matter what the circumstance. Me'achar shati avdi l'cha, also. Me'ahar, the other was Rambam Yishul, so Asher Nachan here, says Rashi, I told you, that's a toiva. I said, don't cook these items. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want this thing to exist. He wants Jews to keep away. Fine. But Jews can't be involved, so therefore not have a chilo. So therefore, Mimela says Rashi, that's the mokor. We didn't see that in Rashi, we didn't see that in the Baal HaTorah. That's the mokor for the prohibition of eating bosom chol according to Rashi, because since it says not to cook, then it qualifies as toiva, and a different bosom, also parts a lo sochal kol toiva. Then the Gemara asks, okay, that's good for achilah. Mainly, I love achilah. I know I'll be nine. I don't know if that includes this or not. So that's a different lingua. That's a lingua that people know from Pesachim. I was studying her Kol Shor. I don't know if you guys are in Yeshiva that Pesachim, maybe. I don't know how many years ago that was. But in Pesachim, we have a general rule. Kedomar Abba, Minayim Kedavavo, Domar Abba, Rambu Lo, Ezer, Kol Makum, Shema, Lo Yochal, Lo Sofal, Lo Sofal, anytime you have some form of expression, Lo Yachel, Lo Sofal, Lo Sofal, Lo Sofal, it includes an isano. Anytime you have a prohibition to eat something, by definition, that includes as well an isano. You might be thinking, one second, I just quoted before. It says in the pasuk, "Parshas Re'ela, so call the Vela." And I eat the Vela, we just said, you're allowed to sell it to going here, because it says the Gemara, "Achi Yifrok Lecha Kosu, Kedera Shabir Lecha B'Nevela." Lager, Nesino, the Kol Mechira. The pasuk goes on. I said it before. The pasuk here in Parshas Re'eh says specifically that you're allowed with the nevela. Again, nevela means an animal that would die other than through proper shechita. That I can sell to a goy or give to a goy. That's a pasuk. The Torah itself allows it. Oh, the Torah itself allows it. Then it's allowed. The implication being, if the Torah would just say, don't eat it, so then not eating it includes what? It is a hano as well. That's the limud of Rav Ashi here in the Gemara in the Mulan of Kufri Dal Amun Beis. Okay? Fine. And Rashi explains to Achim about Kosu, the Buddha, about Noah, Kadar, Shabbat, and Mela, Shafo, Pishal, Kosu, Kana, Loso, Kala, Hutsu, Bafar, Bahet, and Noah, Kol, Mokum, Shob, Perish, Bahet, and Noah, Abi Mashvi, Isra, and Abilot, fine. And again, it says, sell it to Noah, give it to Noah, fine. That is the answer of Rashi. But if you're able to see further, the Sukkah continues, Sukkah digresses something else, and then returns to this question. The Gemara is actually going to have five more derivations, five more limudim to answer this kasha of minayim lebos lechol shalosav achil. But that was Rashi's answer we just gave. Again, the fact that the Gemara gives five answers, actually six answers, including Rashi, just further highlights the point that it's not so clear. I mean, he has his derivations. It is indirect. Well, it says in Alakur. Not means that kasha bachim says that a toivah. Every time you have a toivah, it means losochah. Every time losochah includes isanah. Okay, I mean, they call it the rabbinic exposition. Fine, but the fact is that not even other people are from somewhere else. So if we continue now, on Daf Kuf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara goes back to this question, and you have a different drasha from Reish Lakish. Amar Reish Lakish, Minayim Vosfosh Asin, Talmud Lomar, Al Tov Umimenu, No. Another place where an Isur Bishul appears in the Torah is with a specifically in the Torah, of a Bishul from Shabbos too. Doesn't say that specifically in Chumash. Another place where Isur Bishul is by Korban Pesach. Remember the Parashas Bo. It's in the Parashas Chodesh, right? It's most part of your base. It says you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach raw. You can't eat the Losofim in a no. That means raw. And the Vashon and Lushon of mine. You can't eat the meat of the Korban Pesach. Kiyim, what does it say on the spit? You know, Rosh Al Krov and so on. You have to put the meat on the spit directly on the fire and so on. Roasted meat. The Korban Pesach has to be sleep. Korban Pesach has to be roasted. It says, right? So the same expression there, it says, Vashon Ushon, Al Tokum, and that's Reish Lakish quotes that person, Nana Vashon Ushon, Tamron, Al Tokum, and Da, Vashon Ushon, Shain Tamron Ushon, with an extra word. That's a double language, Vashon Ushon. We need both words for it. Reish Lakish has, and this is a style of Joshua's Kahana, Matam Ushon, Lomacha Yeshua Bishu Achashi Kazan. It hints at a different Isser Bishul. The double language in Parashat Bo, talking about the Korban Pesach, I'm talking about Bas B'chal at all. But the extra word, so that teaches that the Yesh Lecha Bishul Acher Shehu Kazet. The Ezer, Zeh Bas B'chal. There was another similar thing where there is an Isser Bishul, and since the Pasuk there, part will talk about, look, it starts, Al Tochlu. It's talking about not eating. Right? So, included in this Al Tochlu is a different thing that you can violate by cooking, namely bas v'chol. Not only Korban Pesach is it also to eat when you have cooked it, but also bas v'chol, you're not only having cooked it. Right? So that's his derivation. Right? This is the Chazal's
style, right? That's what Rashi explains. The bottom kutas over but I should mention it's kedai. You know, I know that also you better than the base management, the least farm there, but you should have kedai to have the Gemara Chulin, and Shulchan Aruch, of course, here and there, and up to Simcha Yisayim, and the Rambam, of course, Machos Asurus, which is a kedusha. It's kedai to have it with you. I have to speak to a penny, a big speech, but I thought, you know, a lot of the Maram Komas that I prepared, I try to make sure that they're on the Bar Ilan, which you roll over, you have access to it through the library. If you don't, sign up. Okay, and you can get sometimes during Seder, it'll be easier rather than someone told me that we don't necessarily break the Wi-Fi in that basement. So we said I have to speak to the Rosh Yeshiva High School, see if we can do something getting better Wi-Fi. Here in this basement, they put in plugs. Okay, we have to update the basement also. But anyway, I don't know if the building is wired for that. But anyhow, it'll be helpful. It's something to find sources instead of having to bounce them out. I should stress, I like when people see things inside. Many times when you see something in Shulchan Aruch, why don't you see it in the Gemara first? I believe that it gives you a more of a kinyan. It gives you see it as it develops. See what the Gemara says. See where it comes from. You see what the Rambam says. Then you get to the Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, that's why I'm going through this Gemara now. Again, this is just by way of general introduction, but it's important to see the Gemara. Anyway, so Rash said, Shul Kazesh, also Bechila Kazesh. Fine, that's why Shlokish is derivation. Amr Yechanan, now we're going to put this love in the base. Amr Yechanan, why do you have that derivation? Ku'ura zu shashanar rebi, something wrong, something disgusting, something fine, problematical about a different drosha. Why did Great Shlokish insist on that drosha from Korban Pesach? Ku'ura zu shashanar rebi, and now it's a third. You have Ravash, right? Now we have Great Shlokish. Yechanan says, no, there's another one. He thinks it's better. Ku'ura zu shashanar rebi, lo so plano. It's a pasuk that's repeated twice. We'll say here in Parshas Ray. This is exceptions. There are a lot of things in Parshas Ray, which is talking about the Yisur of Dam. I'm sorry, but by the Dam of talking about Sulem of Tosh and Chavonas. Anyway, so it says regarding Dam, Lo Soch Lenu, or it's Tishbechan of Kamoy. Remember that pasuk? Remember that pasuk? Lo, so it says Lo Toch Lenu, or it's Tishbechan of Kamoy. And then it says again, it says Lo Toch Lenu, about the same phrase appeared twice. It repeats twice, phrase Lo Toch Lenu. So he has this derivation. Top of the page again, Kuftes on the base. Kuruzus Shon Rebbe Lo Sochal Bas Vachal Bakas Medaber. That pasuk is talking about Bas Vachal Lo Sochlenu. What do you mean? It's not talking about Bas Vachal at all. No, I don't want Sochal Bakas Medaber. I love Yachad Mikali Sochal Bakar. You want to extend it to Bas Vachal because it's a repetition, as we mentioned before. Maybe it's talking in general about other Yisurim. No, we have Seder Lamad. We have the Midrash of Tarnit Dreshet Lahem. One of the 13 Midrash from Yishma. We say in the end of the Karbonis and the chakras. Right, is Dovah Lamed Binyano, right? Dovah Lamed Binyano means we can learn things that are similar, that may not be the exact same. Dovah Lamed Binyano, when you see different dinim that are together, so you can make certain comparisons. I'm not talking about a Kabbalah homework, there are showing in certain just, we call that in English, learning from context. Right? Sometimes you can see something by seeing something in context. A lot of times people say, I was misquoted, I took my quote out of context. Right? So sometimes you learn things by seeing things in context. That's the idea of Dovah Minyano. So there, what's the context? Not what's the problem at all. Because now the Gemara says, B'ma kos medaber, b'shnei meaning. Okay? It's talking about their korbanos, part of the meat is chulin, part of the meat is kachim. Right? That's the context there. You don't have to know the details for now. That's I said before, I don't want to get bogged down just so you get the flavor. But so the pasuk is talking about something that has two aspects to it, right? Has two parts to it. So Afkan Mishnei meaning both. The other issue that's included by the extra phrase is also that has two components to it, Basar and Chalav, right? The tray for meat is one thing, tray for meat. Okay, pork is Chosa service. One thing here is two meaning. Again, you can look in the Rashi, you don't have to spend that much time on it. But anyway, that so then the Gemara goes on, why Reish Lakish didn't want to use that derivation, because that only tells about Achilah. Because in the original source, Plum and Doshim, Hanoah is permissible, right? So that's why Rish Lakish prefers the other lingua by Korban Pesach. You're not allowed to get Hanoah from. How do we know about the Nelikat leftover Hanoah from leftover Korban Pesach? What's the din? What? Pickles, some say. Yeah, okay, but by Korban Pesach specifically, what are you supposed to do after the burning, right? Korban Pesach specifically after the burning. So okay, anyway, so that's why he prefers that derivation. And Rebbe says, no, it's from a different pasuk. Again, in Parshas Rei, it Another derivation, that same sukkim says, Ki Am Kadosh Atol Hashem Elokeinu, you're an Am Kadosh, and that's compared to a pasuk in Parshas Kisetzev, which says, Lo Yeh Kadosh B'nei Yisrael. Kadosh is a different definition of what that means. Kadosh either means a male prostitute, either for the purpose of the relation of women or the relation of men. That's in front of our home. Anyway, it has to do with Anor, physical Anor, also physical Anor. Fine. So that's the third. So far we have Ravashi, we have Reshokish, Rav Yochanan. They're all learning it out because the Torah never says specifically Adisra Basal Kholov as it formulated as Isra Achila. Now number four, the Devar Belezit Tana Lo Sochu Kol Nevela. Come back to the Pasuk Lo Sochu Nevela. Omra Torah Kishatim Kivena Lo Sebashana Mesim Kivena. We said that in the third time the Pasuk Lo Sebashana Mechalimu appears here where in Parshas Re'eh, it doesn't begin. The pasuk doesn't start the same way it started over there in Yishpat and Kisisa with something to do with Habas Bikurim, which has nothing to do with it. It starts with Sol Kol Nevela, but what can you do with the Nevela? What just said, what? You can sell it to the non-Jew, but Lo Sevasha Bidi B'Chalei Bimo. Okay, so if you're not allowed to cook it, and you can't create pasuk mecholov even to sell it to a non-Jew. Lo Sevash Lena, and you can sell it to. We see the pasuk b'hanor. In other words, you put the whole pasuk as one. Lo sochu kol nevela. Now I need nevela. What can you do? You can sell it to a non-Jew, but lo sevashim. But don't, before you sell it to a non-Jew, don't mix that meat, that nevela, whatever it is, with chalav. Right? So says the Beleza. There we see what that is. Lo sochu b'hanor. In exact the way he's learning the pasuk, where he's expounding the pasuk, is that that phrase lo sevashim b'chalav mo is in effect a limitation on the heter to sell the meat to the non-Jew, or give it to a non-Jew, or chosen or sell it. Or whatever, give it or sell it to a non-Jew. There's a limitation. Why is there a limitation? Because it's also, that's also Bahanor already. Well, if it's also Bahanor, you can't sell it, that's the thing you want. Can't eat it. That's a Malaz's derivation. Okay, good. That's four. The fifth one is the most famous one. That's the one Rashi asks to present in the Chumash. That's the very Bishmol Tana. The fifth derivation, the very Bishmol Tana, Lo Sevasha Bediba Chalav Gimel Pomer Echad Lisachila Echad Lisanoa Echad Lisavishol. That's the one we're all familiar with. Before you came to the shiur, you heard that. That's because you know Rashi, right? Rashi Chumash chooses option five of these options, or a limit five. In some ways, the simplest. On the other hand, I mean, it's less complicated. But since when does Sevasha mean Achila Hanoa? That the Rishon doesn't deal with. All right, Targum Olkus, knowing the end of the story, says that it means Achila. But okay, that's the Meir of Yishmol. Again, that's the famous one. And finally, the last one on the list, number six, is Tani Yisim and Yehuda Omer, Minayim Lavos of Hosh, Oz, and Nemar Kan, Ki Am Kodesh Ato, and Nemar Lahalan, Anche Kodesh, Ki Lali, Lavos of Hosh, Trey, Lavos of Kevo, Makal, Lahalan, Lavos, Oser, Akal, Oser. A different derivation. Again, in the same Sukkim, it says, Ki Am Kodesh, Parshas Re'eh, where it's called Am Kodesh. Elsewhere in the Chumash, back in Parshas Mishpatim, as it happens, we're also told to be a holy people, Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li. And that same pasuk, which speaks about our being a holy people, says, Ubasa Masara Trefa, that's talking about a real trefa, an animal that's been torn apart, that has internal damage, it was attacked by a tiger or whatever, torn apart, that means that's a real trefa, right? The animal was torn apart. So that's that same pasuk speaks about Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li. So Issa ben Yehuda makes a comparison, just like the pasuk in Parashat Mishpatim says, "Be'anchei kodesh tiyuli uvasav salatim uvasuchelu." So what does it mean? A manifestation of being anchei kodesh is what? Not eating treif. Right? That's the simple again, learning context. So the same thing here, just like there, the phrase or the commandment or the charge to be anchei kodesh, to be holy people, includes this rachila. So to in our parashat, when it speaks about doesn't say Anshe Kodesh. What did it say here again? Am Kodesh Ato. And Am Kodesh also implies the Nisar Achila. What it says in the end, Lo Sevasha Bedi B'Chalav Mo, implies also Nisar Achila. That's how he learned that. Then the Gemara says in 1 second. So what about Hanoh? Again, it doesn't have Hanoh. They said, well, we know that Arlo, which is, Arlo means in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, we plant fruit trees, you're not allowed to eat the fruit of the tree for the first 3 years of the life of the tree. Starting, that's the first mission of Rosh Hashanah, right? The first mission of Rosh Hashanah, the year is off on Rosh Hashanah. As long as you plant, let's say I planted the tree is not a good example. But let's say I planted a tree in June. It's Shavuos time. I planted a fruit tree. It's for 3 years. It's not that you have to keep track of what day I planted the tree. You know, 3 years from then. It's calendar years. So the year is up. The next Rosh Hashanah arrives. Even if it may only be 3 months. Now, if I planted the day before, not, that's the time to take root. A month, whatever. Tomorrow, that's the most exciting Rosh Hashanah. So the year is up. Rosh Hashanah is year one. The following Rosh Hashanah is year two. The following Rosh Hashanah is year three. Then it's not Earl anymore. Not quite. Not Earl. And then that's when two Mishnah comes into play. Remember the first Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says that Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei, is Rosh Hashanah limitios. Tios means a sapling. When you first plant it. At the time it's 3 years old, it's called a sapling. Now it's called Milan, a tree. So two Mishnah is Rosh Hashanah limitios. When we were little, we thought two Mishnah, I don't know when I was in school, two Mishnah was the day they gave out these boxers. Dried fruits and so on that I would like too much. But to be sure, it's a halachic importance, more than giving out any fruits and so on. But anyway, so that's the idea of Orla. So Orla, even though in Orla there's no Isser, I didn't do any Isser. Not allowed to eat Orla, I don't get hung off from Orla either. I didn't do any other than plant the tree. How about Timitzu, right? The Tatan Koi, maybe Timitzu, certainly, I'm sure so I can plant the tree there, so I'm not allowed to eat. So yet, you're also not allowed to hung off. So if that's true of Orla, says Issi Ben Yehuda, where no aveir was done, and there's an isra achila and an isra hanor. So plus v'chalav, I prepared, I cooked, I did aveir in order to create this mixture. So then certainly it's an isra hanor. So then the Gemara says, 1 second, arla never was mutter. Okay, plus v'chalav. Let's remember something unique about plus v'chalav. When it was plus, it was mutter. When it was chalav, it was mutter. Okay, plus v'chalav applies to glatt kosher meat and chalav yisrael under the best of hashkachas. Right, the meat by itself is good, the challah by itself is good. When's there a problem? When I put them together. That's it. So an interesting issue, which we'll talk about. Right, when I put them together by itself, so it's kosher meat under a bowl of shkocha, challah is the best possible milk in the world, you put them together, it's not allowed. So that's not to say, at one time, had a shas hekshir, it was kosher one time. So you can't compare it to Orla. Maybe Orla is a special thing because it was never mutter. This the time I planted a tree, it remained osir. So then maybe that's why there's Nisan Law. It's a stronger Isser. So then one answers, no, Chametz HaPesach. Chametz HaPesach is also a Sahan Law. Right? Chametz HaPesach, we're not having Chametz HaPesach. Also not having Anoth from Chametz HaPesach. Right? So, yet, the week before Pesach, the night before Pesach, that was perfectly kosher food, bread. Perfectly good bread. You could eat it. So, if we see that it's not just something which was never Usher that can become Usher Ba'an Law with its Isser Achiva. Even something like Chomet. Then the Gemara says, 1 second, chametz is a chorus. Chametz is much more. Yeah, but Orla is not. So back and forth, the Orla chametz. Anyway, Rabbi Oza Adkat, we have six derivations, six different sources from the Gemara as to what the Isser, what the source of the Isser to eat Basar Chalav is. And the most famous one is the fifth one on the list of Yishmael. That's when Rashi quotes the Chumash in two places. In Mishpat Panakisisa, Osir Achila, three times. Osir Achila, Osir Hano, Osir Bishmael. Okay, that's the introduction. Now, you have a Shulchan Aruch with you. You have a Shulchan Aruch with you. Yeah. Okay. Let's take a look. Because the question is there any nafkamina? Is there any, does it matter which derivation? Well, not really. Okay, because this is the same. But for certain nuances, it may be possible that there's a nafkamina, depending on which limud we refer. We'll see something there shortly from the Rambam. So take a look in the Prima Gadol. Kumbhagadam is printed after the response of the poem. And some of them did that, well, nowadays there's some different bodies, so I don't know what you have, but try and find the Kumbhagadam. The old edition of your day appears after the response of the poem. In your day, the Kumbhagadam is at the end of each section. In our time, Kumbhagadam is in every volume. But in your day, it's the end of every section. At least, I know that many showed me this morning, whole different editions. Good, nice editions today. We had the past. If you can find the Prima Gadol, he has a psicha, the Hilchos Basar V'Chalav, which we'll refer to. An introduction. I love that if you don't have it, if you have a Shulchan, if not, I'll read it inside. Again, it's a good guy to bring it. I don't know which edition you have, but I'll read. Okay, the Prima Gadol begins as follows. Psicha, the Hilchos Basar V'Chalav. Then he goes on. This file, those of you know from our time, and yeah, I know I'm saying certain things many of you know already, but just for the sake of everybody, we have Baruch Hashem coming from different backgrounds here. And the Prima Gadol is basically a super commentary on, in the Shulchan Aruch, on the primary Mefarshim on the page. So let's say in Shulchan Aruch, the main in Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim, the main Mefarshim on the page are the Mamon Avraham and the Taz, right? The Gedolim and Taz. So the Prima Gaon is a super commentary. It's a super commentary. The commentary on a commentary is commentary on the Mamon Avraham. It's called the Eishel Avraham. Okay, and there's a commentary on the Taz. The result is Mishpat Sof Zav. As he played off the name of the word which is commentary. So in Hodeya, the two primary commentaries on the page are the Shach and the Taz. Shach is a Sifsek Kohen. Okay, we should say Saf. We don't. The Shach, the Sifsek Kohen, and the name of Shapsa. What's the name? Shapsa Kohen. So maybe that's why it's Shach. Okay. So the Shach on the page is called Sifsek Kohen. So the Prim Gadol Super Commentary is called Sifsek Das. And on Taz, to resolve, the same like in Orach Chaim, Mishpat Sof Zav. Anyway, but before he gets to that, he speaks out the Psicha. Just going to read one little section. Psicha Lichos Basel Chol says the Prim Gadol. Da, the Yesh Hebdel Ben Basel Bechol L'Shar Yisurim B'Klas Milin Kemosha Abad. The Taz writes, the Prim Gadol writes, that there are three differences, or three primary differences, between Hilchos Basel Bechol and other Yisurim. Other Yisurim, food Yisurim, food-based Yisurim. Okay? And the first one is as follows. Aleph. Basur b'cholov, shenis'arvu yachad al yedei bishul haroi, nesru shneem b'achila u'behanah min ha'tor. He says, basur b'cholov, that were mixed through bishul, right? Through bishul. That's an important point. Mark Psalm actually spells this out. We may see it another time. But if I take a piece of meat, and I put it in a glass of milk, okay, and then I take it out, that is not basar chalav d'oraisa. Because even though we just demonstrated in the Gemaras that we learn from one way or another that there's an issur to eat basar chalav, a nikri yotza mechuto, what is the Torah's expression? Lo sivashel. Can't change the fact. Even Oklos, who translated as Osechlin, fine, but the Torah still says what? Lo Sivasha. And that was for a reason. And that's why the Gemara will see this time and again. Derech Bishul Asur Torah. The Isser of eating meat milk on a Torah, not Torah, is only when it's been prepared. The mixture came about through cooking. So technically speaking, if I go ahead and I soak meat, and the Gemara says this. I go ahead and I soak meat in a bowl of milk. Okay, that is not basar b'cholov d'oraisa. It was not cooked. Okay, so that's an important point. So that's what the Rambam says: basar b'cholov shenis'arvu yachad al yedei bishul, qualified bishul, which are right. Okay, nesu shneim ba'achila u'ba'hanah min ha'tor. Both the basar and the cholov, we'll discuss it now. Even if I separate them afterwards, both the basar and the cholov are now asur min ha'torah. Both in Techila and in Hano. Biushar Isurin Hanuhugin Veinenu. Most other, Machalos Asuro, said the Premier, most other food related Isurin, Rubon Mutorim Hano. Most of the time it's Mutterban, I just can't eat it. Chutz bin Chametz, Chametz on Pesach is an exception. We said before, Chametz on Pesach, we're also not allowed, Chametz on Pesach is a different thing, not allowed to omen. But you're not allowed to get Hano from Chametz on Pesach, okay, you can't feed it to your pet, whatever. The Arlo, we mentioned before, and I don't know if you have it as abbreviation, Chof Hei is Kila Karen. Kila Karen means when you have it, the Torah says that if I have a vineyard, I'm not allowed to plant other, let's say, wheat, or other, certain other types of grains in the same proximity to where the vine is growing. You can't mix, intermingle your vine, grapes, roots, and so on, with other called Kila Karen. What's in Chomish? One of the forms of kilayim. There's a whole Maseches, they're called Maseches Kilayim. We don't have Babu, there's Mishnayos Kilayim, there's all Maseches Yerushalmi Kilayim. So, how close you have to be, and how many, all the details, not for now. But Kilayim Karen is also, not only can't eat it, can't get an off from it. Okay? But anyway, that's what the Prima Gadol points out, okay? That it was called also a Kilayim and an off in the Torah, with these exceptions. Now, what's interesting is, I want to just point out, and I think by presenting it this way, the Prima Gadol is telling us that fundamentally, basar b'cholov is in the category of macholos asuros. You follow what I'm saying? He's telling us it's not like the other machalos, not like most other machalos, because why? Because it also has an Isser Hanok in the Torah. But it's fundamentally in the category of machalos. The Rambam, by the way, does not have, like the Shulchan Aruch does, a separate section of Hilchos Bos Machalos. The Rambam, where is Hilchos Bos Machalos found? In Hilchos Machalos Asuros. And you see that Bos Machalos is in the realm of Machalos Asuros. I think that's what we're going to maybe try to stress. It's just another type of Machalos Asuros. It is a forbidden mixture, just like treif meat mixed in with kosher meat. Yeah.
Why would you think that it's not?
No, I'm not saying that it's not, but what we're going to see is many of the rules are going to be parallel. You might think that Bas Machalos is a total exception. It's its own. I'm not saying it wouldn't think it's not, but by saying that it is, means that some of the rules, many of the rules, would be the same. Rambam gives exceptions, but it's not the same. But in general, the rule of laws of Tarobas are going to be, well, the same rules, whether it's taught by Tom Kiker and also Tom of God, the terms we're going to discuss, is going to be similar to what's in Tarobas. I think that's what we're actually drawing at. Okay, but it is a form of Machalos Asuras. But again, what I think he also may be hinting at is fundamentally it's an Isra Achila. But to remember again, the Torah didn't start by saying it's usher to eat. By the other surah, we have by chomet, it says expressly not eat chomet. We saw it today. By Nevelu, it says osofa kol tameh. It says osofa kol tameh. A lot of times, the Torah knows how to say don't eat. Okay, and it does say it in a number of places. It doesn't say it here. So it could be, I'm not even dyak in the prima gutta, but what he's just hammering home the point I'm trying to stress is that fundamentally, it's an isra achil. Which you wouldn't necessarily know if somebody is just opening opening up a chumash and finding a pasuk. You never know that you have, and that's why we need Torah Shalom Peh, right? Torah Shalom Peh. That's why I can't learn Torah Shalom Peh without Torah Shalom Peh. You know, and I'll digress for one moment. I remember quite a number of songs ago, close to 40 years ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and in those days, I use this when I speak to the high school Tommy to explain why it's so important that we understand what Torah Shema Peh. Everyone thinks that Torah Shema Peh, the rabbis. That's a mistake. Torah Shema Peh is not the rabbis. Not the rabbis. But it's not the rabbis. But Torah Shema Peh is sometimes the Torah is the expression, Eila Hokima Ha Toros. Toros, two Torahs. Yeah, two Torahs. Torah Shema Sab and Torah Shema Peh. By the end of the Chumash Reikah, the Torahs. Two Torahs, there are two Torahs. And we're not embarrassed about it. There are two Torahs. Torah Shema Sab and Torah Shema Peh. It's a great muscle. If you have time, look it up once. Rabbi Shmuel Hirsch, in his commentary at the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, gives a very beautiful, in my opinion, a very beautiful way of understanding the relationship between Torah Shmichsav and Torah Shmuel. He says that Torah Shmichsav is like a student taking notes at the lecture. You come to a shiur, a lecture, whatever. So there are certain people who write down every word. But most people don't write down every single word that the professor or the Rebbe says. Like you write down the main ideas, you type the main things. Okay, if I have to go shopping, and my wife tells me to buy milk, I don't have to write go to store, buy milk, right? You write down the main things. Now, you may see what I wrote, may not know what I'm referring to. Right? I write stuff for chomp. Right? I know what I meant by that. But you may make chomp, your wife may make chomp different than I do, your mother may make chomp different than my wife makes chomp. Right? So I know what it means. So the person writing knows what it means, yeah? But not necessarily the person reading it, may not know exactly what it means. Well, so Shmuel Hirsch says that the Torah Shabbat Peh is basically, the Torah Shabbat Sound is just the headline, it's just the notes. I didn't know what it meant. Moshe Rabbeinu explained it to the people. The Gemara Erevin as a whole. Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to Aaron, and then to Elazar, and then, and it was taught, that's how it was explained. So, I always give an example, because of this story that happened to me. Everyone in this room for sure, and every kid who's learned anything about Kriya Shema knows what mitzvah that's referring to. Tefillin. You all know the word tefillin doesn't appear anywhere in Chumash. And certainly never says anything about black and boxes and squares and wraps and straps. It never says anything like that at all. Okay, so how do we know? The answer is you ask every kid, what does it mean? What does that mean? So look in English, it doesn't help either. It says phylacteries. Okay, well, no one knows phylacteries are, unless you know what tefillin are. The English doesn't help either. So what does it mean? We know it means tefillin. How do you know it's tefillin? I don't want to come at the answer is because, I heard it from my Rebbe and my father, your peers, and back all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe Rabbeinu taught. So if you were at the shir, you saw that word, and you know what it means. Means tefillin. So we were all part of the Masorah, so we know what it means. Somebody who looks only at the Torah Shemassah is somebody who didn't pay attention to the whole Zman, didn't take any notes, or didn't listen to the lecture or whatever. And before the final, someone emails in the notes. Yeah, you can get a good idea. I don't know the guy's notes. So the decent notes, you get a good idea, but they're going to be gaps. Because what I wrote down, if I listened to the lecture, so I'll write down a few words, then we'll study it for example. What happens in your brain when you see certain words? It triggers off the discussion that took place, or the conversation that took place around those words. But if someone else is reading your notes and he wasn't there, so it's not going to trigger anything in his mind because it wasn't there. You know, it's like on that video where the glasses said that the one day you weren't there, that the question you got wrong. I don't have the test, or whatever, right? So you weren't there for that, so you probably read somebody else's notes, but he's missing something. So it says in central words, that's the idea. So I was in Eretz Yisrael. So we, in those days, the Sinai Peninsula was part of Eretz Yisrael, back in the 1970s. The Sinai was part of it. They used to have tours, trips to the Sinai, like a camping trip. So I was there with my family. I was 17 or whatever, something like that, 17 or 18 years old. So my family signed up. They had some from outfit in Yerushalayim. Was running, leaving on Sunday, coming back Thursday. They had a 5-day camping trip to the Sinai. You see all the sites that there was to see there, and it was going to be obviously kosher food, and so on and so forth. So we signed up for this, and went on this trip. It was very exciting, a lot of fun. Went to the place they think was Har Sinai. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, whatever, for another discussion. Anyway, now it's part of Egypt. It's no man's land. I don't think it's safe to walk around some of those places. But also a very beautiful place in there. Good. So we went on this trip, and it happens to be that there were 5 Dutch Christian graduate school students signed up for this trip too. There was an ad in Yerushalayim, whatever it is. So they didn't care what school, not coach school. They didn't know what they're getting into. Always from people, but then they signed up for it. So very, very nice, very respectful people. They were there visiting them. It's the Holy Land also for them. So they're visiting the Holy Land. And it just so happens that now the guide spoke in Hebrew and English, whatever, for this tour. Nobody spoke Dutch, except that it just so happens that my father, which wouldn't be well, during the Holocaust, as a young boy, so he was saved. He lived in Holland during the war. I'm still going to pay another time. He lived in Holland during the war. So he speaks Dutch. So willy-nilly, he kind of became like the translator. So these, you know, they didn't know what was going on. So he explained to them in Dutch what the guy said or what this place is. Okay. Anyway, every morning before we broke camp, so we made a minyan. We got him, you know, down to Tzibur, and then moved on to the day's activities. And then I, of course, to in the morning, I was put on chillin. So the last day, it was Thursday morning, finally one of these fellows came over to my father. Very respectful, and they say, you know, we've seen that you pray every morning. You understand we pray also, you know, what's these black straps and so on? I guess we're not used to it. It does look a little peculiar. Okay, we're used to it, but it looks like these, they look very, very strange, and they obviously saw the hat and said, what is this? What are these black straps? So these, I said before, these were religious students. They were touring the Holy Land, and they had with them a copy of their Bible that they brought on the trip with them to study when they were passing different sites or whatever. My father said, go get your Bible. So they did that. Their Bible has our Chumash as well. Has other things too that they call the New Testament. But they have what they call the Old Testament, which is our Tanakh. It's in a different order, but the Chumash is the same. Anyway, so my father found the Pasuk in Kriya Shema. He says, see this, it's a sharp nose like that, how you wrap around and a sign post between your eyes. Oh, now they understand what it is. What's my point? They knew the Torah Shemitah. They knew the written, they were familiar. They were religious students. They were familiar with the verse in the Bible, but they had no idea what it meant. And they had no idea what it meant until that's the Torah Shemitah. So that's why, you know, that it's important to, you know, just to consider, I'd like to give that just as a beginner, it's important to consider what is Torah Shemitah. But in any event, so we have the derivation of Torah Shemitah, but fundamentally, the way the Torah presents this about Sukkot, it's official. Well, Sivasha of Nibuchadnezzar. But the Primogena Khan, yeah, but it's fundamentally a Machalas Asuras. Okay. Now, it's interesting to take a look in the Rambam. Let me finish a couple of things quickly. If you take a look in the Rambam, those who have the Rambam, turn to Perek Tes of Hilchos Machalas Asuras. Perek Tes of Hilchos Machalas Asuras. We'll start with Al-Kabeis, because the Rambam does something unusual here. The Rambam quotes yet a different source. He says, he's bothered by the same problem. Why didn't the Torah, we'll get back to Halacha, we're looking at Halacha Beis, why didn't the Torah formulate this Isser as an Isser Achila? I mean, again, he takes note of the same problem that we've been talking about. So the Rambam says, Lo shasak ha-posuk mi le'asor ha-achila, el ne'asor ha-mishu. it would, the Torah would not have been quiet about asering achilas bas v'chalav, except that it already asered cooking. Klomar v'afilu bishulo aser. Okay? In other words, when the Torah says lo sivashil, that means he can't even cook it. But certainly what? Can't eat. That's how the Rambam works. And when the Torah says lo sivashil, klomar v'afilu bishulo aser, it's aser even to cook it. Okay? Main tzorach lomar achilo aser. Have to say achilo, that's obvious. Once you can't cook it, a body can't eat it. Rashi gives an example from the parsha of Arayas, in the end of Akramos, in the Kedosh. The Torah says, as bas binov, as bas bito, right? The Torah asks, one of the Arayas is a granddaughter. It actually never says daughter. So, obviously, if one of the Arayas is a granddaughter, which is another generation, then Fashtenzuch, what's also asr? The daughter. So the same logic, says the Rambam, that the Torah prohibits something which is a bigger chiddush than certainly the smaller chiddush. That's what Rambam says. So if we go to the Arayas, he's just using that as a comparison. What we find that the Torah asks something implying the less, the more obvious is avaros. So afilo bishul also means tzorach lomar achilo also. Now it's just interesting as an aside, where did the Rambam come with this one? I mean, that's not one of the six. The Rambam is saying, now you know that the Nisr Bishul Bas V'Cholot? I'm sorry, you now you know that there's Nisr Achilas Bas V'Cholot? Because it says Lo Sivasho. Oh, Lo Sivasho means certainly you can't eat it. And the Rambam didn't make this up. The Maggid Mishnah writes, okay, that the again, talking about Halacha Beis, Vayikra Rabba. Mishnah, the end of Vayikra Rabba. Okay, the Kamos Osta Torah Shosa Kasmachilas Bas, he quotes it, Vayikra Rabba. Okay, now, full disclosure, there's no such Vayikra Rabba that we have extant today. And we know that there were different versions of Medrash and manuscript. This is for the scholars to figure out, and it's interesting. But there's no such Vayikra Rabba today. The Maggid Mishnah says that's the Rambam's Mokar. Okay, but we don't know, I looked in the, for example, in the Frankel Rambam here, where he sometimes quotes other sources, and he says we also don't know where that Maggid Mishnah is. And the Rav Kafach, great, familiar Rav Kafach, Talmud died a few years ago, put out a critical edition of the Rambam, explaining using different manuscripts and your souls. And he spoke Arabic and used the Rambam's Arabic words. He translated a lot of things. He translated from Arabic, he translated the Maravuchin and other things that the Shatara religion was the Hebrew. He had to translate it. He put out an Arabic edition. He also says we don't know where that Vayikra Rabba is. And Chaim Kanievsky Shalita has a little sefer called Sharam. Well, he also gives you the Rambam sources when other people didn't give it. A lot of times, there's a fresh on the page give it, but a lot of curious, a little, it's a thin work called Kiryas Melech. So, Kankanesky tells you where the Rambam source is, but he also says, no one seems to know exactly what this. What is that? Be that as it may, it's just interesting. The Rambam has a different derivation. The Lechem Mishnah is a little bothered by this. This will, we'll move to wrap up. The Lechem Mishnah is bothered. I love the base, right? The character says, Lechor and Hirdar Beda Lo Pasa Kishum Echa Mahanit Tanai Rabba Roy, the Parak Kalabosa, that proved as well. It's unusual. The Rambam didn't seem to accept the expositions of any of the six approaches that we spoke about earlier. Rambam said, no. The Chadma because of Chol Gachilah Lo Sochlu the Chadma Tov Chachmila the Rebbe quotes some of them and so on. Okay, Ella Kemo Shalom Vayikra Rabba. Okay, rather it comes from this Vayikra Rabba. It's even if we found this Vayikra Rabba, but it's aside from the fact that we don't have this Vayikra Rabba, which is not a horrible question. The Rambam could have had a different version of the Medrash, which doesn't exist today. It would be the first time. And the Maggid Mishnah evidently had that as well. Again, as a contemporary, the 20th century. Frankel and Kafa and now Tanyashi say that we don't have that version. But okay, the Rambam had it. I'm not questioning it, but even if you have that version, isn't it unusual when you have a Gemara that gives you six different sources to not pick any of them? So he said, wondering about that. Okay, it's a question. All right, and he says, Bechol Zeh Vali Blabar Tema, Dei Shomach Tamud Didan, Upasa Kemet Yishrach. Why Why would the Rambam just ignore our Gemara? Come on, down. Our Gemara. Come on, Babylon. Now, sometimes the Rambam sources it. It's like, Shalom, that nobody knows here. But it's an open Gemara. So he said, I know he asked another kasha. Anyway, he's bothered also that in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, okay, and we'll talk about that also, in the Mitzvah Kuf Pei Zayin Kuf Pei Ches, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs does quote the more frequent, the common derivation of the three times. Three times tells Yisrael Achilles Avon Yisrael Bishol. So the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he does take Rabbi Shmuel, which I said before is the most popular one, again, made popular by Rashi, but that's the fifth or the sixth on our list. That the Rabbi Sefer HaMitzvahs does bring. Okay? So he wonders how come over there he doesn't bring. Anyway, basically, it's just an interesting observation, not an earth shattering point, but he says the Rabbi fundamentally, Lachain, nearly Vadai, Du Pasa, Kimad Nomer Shosh, Pam Echad, Yisrael Achilles, and so on. And he goes on to give another reason why he quotes the Hebrew Rabbah. But just, I think it's interesting, just an interesting observation in the Rabbah that he quotes something else. If you just take a look for a second at the beginning of Simchat Pesach, since we have Rosh Hashanah, so that is also the derivation which the Mechaber quotes. The opening, your Bosom Chalom, Simchat Pesach, Sif Aleph, those are the opening words. Kasuv b'Torah lo sevasha gedim b'chalei bimo gilol pa'amim. The Haber says, the phrase, lo sevasha gedim b'chalei bimo, appears in the Torah three times. Echad l'isur mishol, v'echad l'isur ri'ich, v'echad l'isur achila, v'echad l'isur hanol. He actually puts mishol first, and that's probably because the lashon of the Torah is lo sevasha. But that's what the Haber says, he in effect accepts that reason. Okay, now, well, just to set up what we'll start with next time, I assume today it wasn't a regular morning, so people didn't have so much time. So again, we're learning in the other base medrash, and tomorrow we'll probably have shiur here again as well. Hopefully, some of the guys right now in the office will go to the other room, a bigger room, more comfortable. Unless you want to stay here, again, I'm easy, so talk to them. But anyway, the even though we've presented everything as being one, or three sort of derived from the same thing, most famous explanation being Rabbi Shmuel, that's what Rashi quotes in Chumash, that the Rambam quotes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, even though in Hilchos Machos Rosh Parakles he doesn't quote that reason, but he quotes the Shulchan Aruch also quotes it. We're going to learn that there is, at least according to the Rambam, an interesting difference. Okay, and just by way of a head start, Pischei Tshuva is cut in base right here on the page. See, Pischei Tshuva writes, "Leisur Achila v'i ha'lokel hanoa das Rambam de'eno lokel." Usually, a lot of Mechomish get Malkus as the punishment if you violate. The Pesach Tshuva points out, here it's Kotten Beis and Simchat Pesach. The Pesach Tshuva, right in the beginning, the Pesach Tshuva says that even though it's Achila, it's Hanor, it's Bishul, and so on, but there's a distinction. That for Bishul and for Achila, what's the call, you get, this is called the Rama, you get Malkus, but the Pesach Tshuva points out, but not so for Hanor. And that's what we'll discuss next time. We'll go right there and we'll figure out what the Rambam really holds, because as we'll see, Ramban and others seem not to hold like that. And we'll have to see. Is Yisrael HaNoah somehow a second-class citizen? Does it count? In fact, we'll even see that whereas the Rambam counts in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, it's the Alosa Seh Kuf Pei Vav Kuf Pei Zayin, Rambam counts Bishul as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs, and it's a Bishul, and he counts in Achila as one of the Tariq Mitzvah, he doesn't count the Yisrael HaNoah as a separate one of the Tariq. Aside from the Malkus distinction, Rambam has another major distinction between HaNoah on one hand and Achila and Bishul on the other hand. In Achila and Bishul, Rambam counts as an independent lav in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, two different losas. Whereas Yisrael HaNoah, he doesn't count as a separate. So, and again, the Rambam counts all three. So, you're deciding to only count one. We'll have to talk about that in Bez Hashem tomorrow. Okay? So we'll stop here and we'll go to the closest here.